You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Episode 6 of Paper Girls Matinee is over, but we are just getting started here on post-show recaps. And wait, what is it that I hear? Oh my gosh, is there a rave? And I'm here, of course, with my partying co-host, as always, Deidre Litzikas. Deidre, how are you?
I'm doing great. My poor time-traveling baby, just Sterling.
I hope that if I ever do time travel at some point, that the older version of me or whatever version of me I meet is just as like cool and chill about the situation as older Tiff is.
Cause she's older just like, Tiff is
yeah, sure.
Literally yeah. Just the absolute best in pretty much every way I could imagine.
Yeah, I'm still, again, I feel like broken record here, but still loving this show. And not just that, I'm loving the character work so much.
Oh my God, it's so great. I mean, it's a little early to get into some feedback, but I think we might have to, which is Josiah sent us a lot of feedback. And yeah, so we'll sprinkle them in.
This is a traveling podcast.
It is.
And we will travel to the end real quick and this is the feedback.
So one of the things that Josiah said was that they are doing a really great job developing the four main paper girls in such little time. And I think that is very true.
Yeah, because they're not, I mean, we're on episode 6 of a first season. And
I feel like we know each of them so well.
We do. And I think part of that is being able to see the different ages, right? Like, mm-hmm. So seeing older Aaron, younger Aaron. But even with characters like Mac, where we have not met an older version, I still feel like I know Mac very well also. So I'm really loving the show. I think this is a really great example of an adaptation that isn't necessarily a one-for-one from the graphic novel, but is still so true to what the heart and vibe of the novel, of the graphic novel is. I'm like honestly pulling this straight from Mediapedia. It's our patron only podcast that Grace and Marissa host.
Happypedia.
Happypedia. Go check it out. PosterRecaps.com/Patreon if you're not a patron yet. But they talked, they did a whole episode on adaptations and how what's most important, I think, is what they kind of, spoiler alert, what they kind of surmise is that what's most important is the vibe. Is the vibe right? Is it true to the heart of the story? And I'm finding, yes, this is very much true to what these who these characters are. It builds on that. It changes things a little bit, but I'm not finding any of the changes they made, be it for budgetary reasons, you know, there may be it to make it more straightforward. I'm not really minding those things. I think something I want to say, it might have been Todd the librarian in our Discord had mentioned, like, it's a little bit more straightforward than the comic is. And I just think that's probably a product of, we only have 8 episodes. This is on Amazon Prime Video. This is not a show that is on like Sci-Fi or even like HBO sometimes gets into complicated material. I'm looking at like Westworld. And I just think, like, because of all of that, it does make sense to kind of make it a little, like, streamline it a little bit.
Yeah, well, I am not familiar with the vibe of the graphic novel yet, but I am loving the vibe of the show. And actually, by the time that you're hearing this, I think – our recording break will be over. But Jess and I have 9 days between this recording and the next recording. And that is my homework to myself, to read the graphic novel while Jess is on vacation.
You're going to love it. And I think it's going to be fun because it's going to inform a lot of how you think. And you'll have watched the majority of the show without having read it. So you kind of have both. You'll have both sides of kind of a viewing experience.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I can't wait to hear your thoughts. I might end up like bringing it with me on vacay and reading a little bit of it too.
It's a big chunky book, but
it's
hey,
so chunky.
You should check your local library, because my library had a online e-reader version of this available. I did not have to put it on hold. I did not have to wait.
I'm shocked you didn't have to put it on hold, that nobody else was grabbing it.
I did do it about maybe a week before the show started.
Oh, that's probably why then. Oh my God, you're so smart. You get right on that, because people will wait until the show is already out and they're loving it and then be like, oh, this is a book. I gotta check it out.
Right. So I put the hold on. Well, it wasn't a hold. I just checked it out. But also, like, since it's, you know, an e-reader, there's always like a lot more copies anyway, or licenses or whatever the library situation is. Todd the librarian would probably know better. But yeah, so it's the longest ebook in terms of like pages that I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah.
Hold please while I open it up. But yeah, it's like a completely like aggressively long ebook, but it's full in color and it looks really great.
It's beautiful. I will say something.
779 pages.
Yeah. It's a whopper, but on the other hand, because it is a graphic novel, obviously you will be able to read through it quicker. Although I did find myself pausing to just like look at the glorious imagery they have. I do think it speaks to what I prefer. Hard to say. I've not read a ton of graphic novels. I should say that for anybody who's wondering.
This will be my first.
Yeah. I am not someone who's read a lot of like superhero comics or anything. I've read some of Superman back when I was a kid. But the artistry and the artwork in Paper Girl speaks to me. It's very bright and colorful, which is something I very much love. I thrive when I'm around like bright, shiny colors. It is it's really good for anybody. I feel like I've talked about this so much. For anybody who hasn't tried out the graphic novel, or you're like watching the show first, totally recommend checking out the graphic novel. It's totally worth it.
I'm really excited to get a chance to dig into it.
Yes. So speaking of digging in, shall we dig into Matinee, not Manatee, Matinee episode 6?
Yes. Although now I'm just thinking of manatees. So we open with another dream sequence of Erin's, that she is doing a presidential debate with President Ronald Reagan. And so this is our second Ronald Reagan scene this season.
Yeah. Okay. I will say the graphics here were a little weird. Like
the deep fake of Reagan is not like particularly amazing. No, I think it's probably just because the quality of video is a little older for him, but
maybe just like his face was weirding me out so much. And I think it was worse than the first one they did, or maybe it just lasted longer. So I had longer to like assess his face, but it was a little uncanny valley.
For sure.
I did not like this. I will say like this type of thing is pulled out of like this dream type of sequence is there in the comics as well. So this isn't unprecedented. It's just when you're drawing someone, it's much easier to get away with it than having to pull a deep fake on the show.
For sure. Yeah. So in this presidential debate, the moderator asks Erin about, you know, how she says that she needs to be there to take care of her mom and Missy. And Erin is like very defensive, and she keeps saying like, there's nobody else, I have to do it. And then Ronald Reagan says that Erin is dead and that she just stood by and watched it happen. And then Mac like snaps her awake, and turns out Erin was napping in the back of a cab, and they all get out and they are in the truck yard for the plant in Stony Stream. And they're looking for where older Tiff is, and suddenly they hear dance music. So they follow the dance music, because older Tiffany had these 12-year-old girls meet her at a rave, y'all.
I mean, this is, I mean, she, okay. We will say later, I'm sure, how responsible older Tiff is and how, unlike older Erin, she immediately is like, what do you all need? Like, you can stay here. Let me get you breakfast. Like, she feels very maternal towards mm-hmm. the kids, or at least older sister-ish, whatever. Yeah. This is a choice. I understand if she likes raves, but like, at least meet them outside, not have them go right. in.
Make the children go into the depths of the rave to find you at your DJ booth.
Yeah, and she obviously gave the heads up to the doorman,
right?
Too.
To the doorman, Big Tony asks if she's a little name. Tiff, and Tiffany is like, just Tiff, please. But yeah, like, I think my read on the situation is that, like, when Tiffany called her, she was like already at this rave and like DJing, right? She's the rave DJ. And, you know, when Tiffany said, like, this is urgent, like, we need you like right now, you know, maybe it was just circumstance. It's like, if you do need me right now, like, I am at this rave.
That's fair. They probably weren't, because they were already in Stony Stream, right? So they couldn't have been that far away. So yes. I suppose that's fair. I just still am like, meet them outside. Like, they are 12. Like,
yeah, I kind of feel like she could have had somebody cover the DJ booth for like 10 minutes.
Although I also will say, on older Tiff's perspective, when you're meeting someone you've never met before, it is usually a smart thing to meet them in a public crowded place.
Yes, with bystanders and
exactly. So in that case, the rave is a really good spot. Although no one's paying attention to you because they're all too busy, like, it's just like bopping along to the beat.
Also, if you know anything about raves, they're probably not in a sober state of life.
It's true. I really
but you know who could have been a bystander? Big Tony.
Big Tony looks like he could handle himself and others. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm with you. But they're like walking around this rave, looking around. They can't
This rave looked super lit. Like, this rave was not super crowded. Like, obviously this, like, you know, Amazon produced version of a rave is going to be like less insane than a regular rave.
Yeah.
But it looked not overwhelming, and I want to go to there.
I have always wanted to do the thing from Miss Congeniality where there's like paint on these drums.
On the drum.
And you just get to bang them, and then like the paint gets on you and it's like really like cool looking. That's the only rave I want to go to.
I genuinely don't know if that's a thing that exists in real life, but I always wanted to do that as well.
It should be if it's not a real thing.
It should be. The thing from Miss Congeniality that I do know is a real thing is shots in test tubes.
Yes, I also would like to do that because something about drinking out of a test tube, that sounds wrong, but it looks cool.
Drinking's a drink that you know is drinkable out of a test tube versus just drinking whatever the heck liquid
maybe
you find in a test tube.
Buy test tubes and then I can make my own little bevs at home.
You definitely could. I wonder how difficult it would be to have like a jello shot out of a test tube.
Probably difficult because of it being long and narrow and glass.
Yeah, I can see that it might be difficult to decant the jello shot.
Can I tell you a secret I heard about jello shots and how to make them easier to drink?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So, you know how most people make them in those kind of like little ketchup holders with the lids? Okay. What you do is you make the whole jello situation, you pour it in all the cups, you put the lids on them, then you turn them upside down and refrigerate them like that. That way when you take the lid off, it's not stuck to the bottom.
I feel like you told me this very recently because I'm having major deja vu. But again, it will be hard to know.
Maybe you saw the same TikTok I did.
Yeah. Well, I definitely don't have TikTok. So.
Oh, well, then you didn't. Yeah. I will tell you one thing. Pro tip. This is going to sound sketchy. I don't care. Pro tip. Don't make jello shots in like those little plastic cups they give you with like Benadryl or like, you know, cold medicine. Don't use those because the jello really sticks to the sides.
Gross.
Yeah. So just I they were clean. I had a friend at the time who was like a nurse and got them from her work. So all was well, besides probably the thievery that took place, the burglary. But it's totally fine. It didn't work anyway. So really, like, we were worse off for it.
Yeah. Well, there you go. You learned your lesson. Don't steal things.
Yeah. I didn't, to be fair, I didn't steal anything.
Don't encourage the thievery.
Yeah, that's true. Don't encourage the thievery. That's the thievery. What is the
thievery,
word?
Yeah, thievery.
Thievery. It's
no L. No L.
Thievery sounds better, even though I know it's wrong.
I think it does too, but it's not. It's not real, sadly.
Anyway.
Anyway. Yes. So while they're in this rave, Mac's nose starts bleeding, and KJ is like, "Oh, are you okay?" And then she's like, walks angrily away from her. And Aaron follows Mac, and I really love the like little friendship building between Aaron and Mac. Like, they're definitely the two I think most jaded right now, but also, like, as we now know, you know, Mac dies young and knows when she's gonna die, and Aaron also knows when she's gonna die, so they have a little bit of a shared common experience there.
Yeah, I think Aaron being jaded here totally makes sense, and it's such an interesting character arc because we definitely classified her as like the sweetheart or the naive one in episode one, but she has had such a big shift because not only did she go through something that is super traumatic and difficult, but she's also 12, and so you're gonna have those like moments of
she's also on her period, which is you can be a little moodier.
She is. Oh, poor Aaron. She's really going through it.
She really is. All the things are happening. She time traveled. She watched herself die, and she got her period. It's all very tragic. It's
too much.
I know. Anywho, Tiffany finds her older self, and they're both like kind of in awe of each other when they meet each other. It's like really cute to see like older Tiff really accepting of Tiffany. And Mac is just really frustrated with KJ for flying off the handle and punching her in the nose, obviously. And Aaron is comforting her, and she uses one of the tampons and puts it in Mac's bloody nostril.
This was so funny. She just shoves it right up there. It was so great. Because they're walking around the bathroom trying to find toilet paper, and the sinks don't work. There's no toilet paper, and Mac the whole time is like, "That's so gross. That's so gross."
I loved it too, and I loved that it also means that they took the rejected tampons with them.
You never know. Regular, you never know what kind of day you're gonna have.
Yeah, I wonder which one she put up.
I can't imagine it was a super. That would be kind of, unless she got some big nostrils.
Yeah, seems kind of painful. But I've also never had a nosebleed that bad that I had to put a tampon in anyway. So. Not speaking from experience here.
No, but also I've never been punched in the nose either. So
yeah, I have broken my nose twice.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I ended up having to have surgery to repair my deviated septum as an adult because of the two broken noses. But
oh my gosh.
One of them I was a wee child. I was 4 years old. And then one of them I got my nose broken by getting hit in the face with a basketball in middle school gym class.
Oh, it's brutal.
Yeah, I am not athletic, if you know anything about me, and this was just like a it was just the icing on the cake of like just ridiculousness of gym class for me.
Oh, poor you.
So terrible. Anywho, so we go back to Tiffany kind of explaining everything to older Tiffany. And she is following super logically because she's Tiffany, and she makes a very good point, which is that the old watch is probably not after the girls anymore because they were looking for two bodies and they found two bodies. So she thinks that they don't really have, you know, an inkling that the four girls are out there in 1999.
Right. And that's probably a fair assessment. Because the bodies they found were just roasted and you couldn't tell anything about them, right? Like, I doubt they could, I don't know if they can pull DNA off of them, if that's what they're looking for. We do know that the woman in white, the lady in white, like we've been talking, referring to her as, she has spotted KJ, right? Like, she did get a good look at her. She knows what KJ looks like, both by photos and by seeing her. She knows KJ's name. So, but if she doesn't have a body and can't tell, she could just assume that one of the bodies was KJ. So that's, yeah, it's a solid point by older Tiffany.
Yeah, I kind of have like an inkling that it may not necessarily be the case, just because they keep saying that people have traveled outside of their own time are detectable by the old watch. And I kind of feel like there must be some other form of detection beyond just like the laser search for life forms. Mm-hmm. But we shall see what happens there.
Yeah.
And so older Tiff is like not at all surprised by Tiffany traveling through a wormhole to travel through time. Yeah. She's like dropping all of this like quantum physics knowledge. It's freaking amazing. And she invites Tiffany to crash at her place. And Tiffany's like, oh, I got to go get all the girls that I came with. And older Tiff is like, there are more time travelers. And so when they get all the other girls, they all think that older Tiff is really cool. They're really impressed with her.
Yeah. And I think it's funny, especially when isn't Mac the one who's like, you turn into that? Mm-hmm. Like, she seems really impressed by how cool, because we haven't mentioned older Tiffany is like rave queen goddess.
Oh my God. She has incredible.
The cutest hair I think I've ever seen in my entire life.
I mean,
life.
It's purple, so we knew you were going to love it.
It's purple. It's braided. It is so cute. She is played by, I so apologize, I do not know how to pronounce this actress's name, but it looks like Sakai Abeni, possibly. This is her only acting credit that I see on IMDb.
Oh, wow.
She needs to be in more because she's fantastic. Loved her. Yeah, I thought she was super charismatic instantly. I thought they did such a great job in like the costuming department or the whatever you want to call that department, where like her outfit, everything about her gave you what you needed to know about like Tiffany in this moment in time. And then I also thought like the design of her apartment was just chef's kiss. So perfect.
Oh my God. One of the coolest apartments in TV history, I think.
Yes, absolutely. Anything that is like loft-ish and like industrial looking, I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I'm interested in this.
If you have to rank the time travel loft apartments of Claire in The Time Traveler's Wife versus older Tiff, who would be your number one, number two?
Oh, older Tiff, I think, because it's just like I don't know. Like, she even had the little, I always wanted these when I was a kid, the little like plastic danglers. Curtains.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Beaded curtains.
Plastic danglers.
Plastic danglers, AKA beaded curtains. She had those, which I wanted as a kid. She has like the stairs, which I think Mac does the thing we all do later where she goes on all fours to climb up the stairs. And I was like, oh, my childhood. Yes.
I will say I did have a beaded curtain that I got from Spencer's with my allowance money, and is not worth it. I ended up taking.
Oh no, I'm sure it's terrible in actuality, but it looks very cool.
It looks really cool. And I think the way that Tiff has it as kind of like a curtain on a window is a lot more less obstructive to daily life.
You're not disturbing the beads constantly, for sure.
Yes.
But yeah, she's so sweet. She comes over and they all see her and she's like, oh, my poor time traveling babies. And she forces them all to do a group hug, which I would have been very disappointed if Mac didn't resist at first, because it feels like a very Mac thing to do. Mm-hmm. And they finally get her to come in. But again, very Mac, where she doesn't even lift up her arms. She's just fine.
She's just allowing herself to be hugged rather
I'll just
than
receive this hug,
actively participating in the hug. Yes. I love this group hug. I can't believe this is the first group hug we've seen with the girls. I feel like they've dealt with so much. They all need a hug. I want to give them all a hug.
Yeah, they definitely needed a hug. And it was nice for them to have like someone that they at least assume they can trust at this moment to do
definitely.
That. You know?
So we arrive at older Tiff's apartment. Like we said, it's very freaking cool. There's like sculptures and light installations everywhere. It's a whole vibe. The other three girls are sleeping in older Tiff's bed, And Tiffany is just kind of like walking around tying her sleep bonnet, and older Tiff helps her tie her sleep bonnet.
Oh, this is so sweet, where she's just like, oh, just like mom taught us. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, did you feel a specific vibe when older Tiff is like, we do it better?
I mean, it's that kind of like Leo energy that we're getting from Tiffany, where she loves herself and she's so very confident in herself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was texting you when I was watching it, like, okay, I tried looking up Tiffany's birthday because some of their birthdays are known, but I couldn't find Tiffany's beyond the year. And I was like, she's either a Leo or a Capricorn, because of just not only how successful she is, but also how highly she thinks of each other, of herself, and the confidence. All very, very Leo-esque. Oh, and I forgot to mention something from her apartment I loved was the fact that she just has a traffic light.
Yeah, it's one of her light installations, I think.
It's so cool.
It is really cool. So yeah, older Tiff is a lighting designer. So that's why she has all these light installations in her apartment. And so Tiffany is bonding with older Tiff. And this is where we start to get kind of like a judgmental streak from Tiffany, where she's like confused why older Tiff is still in Stony Stream.
Yeah, I think this was bound to happen, right? Mm-hmm. I think as soon as we see older Tiff is like at a rave, you're kind of like, oh no, like she, and also the fact that she's still in Stony Stream. I think, of course, you're bound to be like, okay, she didn't do all of the things that younger Tiffany expected older Tiffany to do, similar to Erin, where she's just like, oh, this is what I am. Mm-hmm. And of course, she's a little judgmental because she, as a 12-year-old, has all of these plans. We've heard all her plans. I'm going to go to MIT. I saved up all this money for these super cool walkie-talkies. Mm-hmm. She just has had a lot of plans. And so to hear that not all of her dreams came to fruition is hard for little Tiff.
Yeah, it's tough watching the like 12-year-old version of, you know, kind of like yourself. I mean, I was this child at one point. I think that's also like why I relate to this. But also, I did grow up and changed what was important in my life. And, you know, I think if I had to interact with my 12-year-old self, my 12-year-old self would be a little B, and I would be pretty you know, pretty firm on the argument of why these things are not as important as you think they are, mm-hmm. little Deej. So yeah, I can definitely relate a lot to this episode. Tiffany like finds a tape of her valedictorian speech that she gave when she graduated from high school, and she's like, oh, we were valedictorian. And older Tiff is like, are you surprised? And she's like, no, I'm not.
So Tiffany's my favorite. I know her confidence borders on cockiness, right? Like, mm-hmm. all of that is very much a tough line that you may cross. But I personally love Tiffany. I love a confident female character. And so seeing her on the show made me so happy. The fact that like both of them at both ages, mm-hmm. that's still true, because
it's a core part of her personality, I think.
Well, yes, but the world can break you. And
that's true.
And really make your confidence fall a lot, right? As someone who experienced that a little bit over the past couple of years, like seeing younger Tiff and older Tiff still have that same through line of confidence, despite whatever the hell put Tiffany in this specific position where she isn't still in Stony Stream, right? Like, she didn't end up graduating MIT, all of that stuff, that she still has this confidence. I don't know. I love Tiff as a character. I love her so much. And I loved that she was like, are you surprised? Like, of course we were valedictorian.
I know. I love it. So she joins the other girls in bed, and she asks KJ if they can trust older Tiff. And we don't really kind of get an answer from KJ on that. So
yeah, she's like, do you mean, can we trust you?
Mm-hmm.
She's like, forget I asked. Never mind.
Oh yeah. I love the interchange with them where Tiffany says, forget about it. And then KJ goes, forgotten.
Yeah.
I gotta remember
that. You can already
that.
Tell they're yeah. like really, really good friends just because of what they've gone through.
For sure. I mean, they've definitely done a little bit of trauma bonding here. Mm-hmm. And then so it's the next morning, and older Tiff sees the backpack. And then Tiffany wakes up. KJ is already gone. And then we see the clock. They slept until 2:17 p.m.
Yeah.
Oh, and my God.
It's interesting because it doesn't seem like she looks at the futon where older Tiff said she was going to sleep. And it doesn't mm-hmm. look like she slept there. So I'm like, did she sleep on the couch? Did she not sleep? But older Tiff is like dressed for the morning. She went to the grocery store. Mm-hmm. And okay, this is so stupid. But me, I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, like I heard clanking. And I'm like, oh, she's making them breakfast. Like maybe she's doing pancakes, whatever.
Yes.
She breaks out. I was like, oh, never mind.
Yeah. So she gets a bag of snacks that she got at the supermarket. And she says, I remembered we like blueberry Pop-Tarts with no frosting and Rice Krispies.
Okay, I can get on board with the Rice Krispie, the cereal, mm-hmm. but blueberry Pop-Tarts, first of all, not my fave, but also without the frosting, what is the point?
I know, if you're eating Pop-Tarts with no frosting, you just, like, have a problem with your taste buds.
Who hurt you is my question. Who hurt you,
yeah. The Pop-Tart, what is it, crust? Is completely tasteless and like kind of dry and cardboardy.
Yeah.
And the frosting and the inside is like the only thing that makes it palatable at all.
I will say, so talking about Pop-Tarts, growing mm-hmm. up, my fave was the s'mores.
Yes. Now,
I will still defend the s'mores, but I will say the exterior of the s'mores Pop-Tart, which is supposed to be like graham cracker. Pretty trash, generally.
They're speaking. They're all trash.
Not all of them, because... And Pop-Tarts are a dessert. Let's be real with the world.
Yes.
Okay. They're a dessert. The Oreo, gosh, it's like a Oreo cookies and cream or something like that.
Yeah, the cookies and cream.
That one has an excellent crust because it's kind of like an Oreo.
Yeah. I still think it's like an inferior version of an Oreo.
Oh, yeah.
But I would say that the cookies and cream or the chocolate fudge
yes,
have like the it's the best version of the Pop-Tart crust.
I'll even take a brown sugar cinnamon. But
yeah, I've never been into the brown sugar cinnamon. We used to get cherry or strawberry. Personally, my brother preferred strawberry, but I prefer cherry. And the chocolate fudge and sometimes the s'mores. But yeah, it's like it's not breakfast food. Nobody should be eating this for breakfast.
No, it's all sugar.
It's all sugar. Yeah, there's no nutrition in them whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's like a true they say like part of a balanced breakfast. What balance? Like there is no balance.
Yeah, but I do love that older Tiff, like, I love this running through line of their characters remembering, like, I love pickles. And she's like, I know mm-hmm. we do. Like, I love blueberry Pop-Tarts. I know we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so that
cute.
Was fun.
Yeah, and so older Tiff starts telling Tiffany that she has a theory about how they travel through time and how to get them back. And then we get another like dribble of a scene where Tiffany is like throwing more shade at older Tiff for being a dance DJ. And older Tiff is like, girl, I still went to MIT. And also, I'm a lighting designer.
Yes. So this is tough because I think that Tiff maybe assumed she didn't go to MIT. And so when she finds out, she's super excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's. Yeah, I think that she just saw her life in a very different place. But again, she's 12. She doesn't understand what that things change, that your priorities when you're 12 probably are singularly like school, depending on who you are, at least for Tiffany.
Mm-hmm.
That was she had goals of, oh, this is most important and that is most important. And she doesn't understand, right? Like older Tiff has a boyfriend and like she doesn't understand their relationship. And there's so many things that as a 12-year-old,
she just doesn't understand what the world is really like. And like, I mean, yes, she's 12. But like a lot, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of growing up to do still and facing the reality of what growing up is like and just kind of like being slapped across the face with it instead of like actually being able to like experience it sequentially mm-hmm. is just like, is very difficult.
Yeah.
And then Aaron and Mac wake up and they're concerned that KJ is just out there alone, because the old watch could technically still be after them.
Yep, but old Tiff didn't seem bothered by the fact that KJ like left to go take a walk.
Nope.
And so she's walking in downtown Stony Stream, and I wasn't even thinking about this when she finds herself right outside the mm-hmm. theater with the Kubrick movie marathon.
I also forgot that the title of the episode was Matinee, and I was like, oh yeah, that's right, the movies.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
She's a little late to 2001, but the guy was so super kind. He's like, oh, you could still go in. So she gets
like, you only missed the monkeys, which I've never seen 2001 A Space Odyssey, so I don't even know what that's referring to.
But yeah, she sits like right behind her older self and Lauren, who she met before.
Yeah, she also sees like older KJ put her arm around Lauren and they hold hands. And like at first, KJ is a little uncomfortable. But then you can like see her eyes and her face focus on like the movie instead of just like spying on herself.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I really love that like Tiff and older Tiff are just like hanging out in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And Mac has the truest line that I've ever heard in this show so far, where she says Tiff has always been in love with herself. And I think that's maybe what I texted you about her being a Leo. Because it's so funny.
It's also extremely accurate for both Tiff and for Leos.
Yeah, it's very funny because oftentimes I will find myself falling in love with whichever character. I think this is common for most people.
Yeah.
Falling in love with whichever character resonates most with you. And Tiffany has big me energy when I was 12. And then I realized she was probably like in the same mindset as a Leo. And I'm like, oh yep, that tracks, all right, sure.
Yep. So Tiffany then realizes that they need to go visit Larry from 1999 at the farm to get the code cipher, because they have the notebook but like they have no way to decode it,
right?
And Aaron doesn't want anything to do with it, and then older Tiff's boyfriend shows up and they have like a really weird conversation about logistics of like who's going to be dropped off where.
Yeah, because he kind of sucks. Skateboard, but yeah, he's like, oh, you weren't, don't you remember you're supposed to drive me to work? And she's like, oh, sorry, I got like caught up because there's like kids around.
Yeah, and like I thought you would just take the bus.
Yeah, so obviously it very much feels like at first sight it feels like he drags her down a bit, like he doesn't seem motivated at all, which that is not what we know Tiffany to be like. And yeah, so she's just like, okay, well, we're gonna go to the farm and we'll just drop you off on the way, and meanwhile
drop you off along the way in 1988
yes, on the way there. And Aaron is refusing to go because she doesn't want to be anywhere near Larry, because obviously his lie to the group is what resulted in older Aaron's death. So she is not in the mood to see him. And Mac agrees with Aaron. And I did love the solidarity there of Mac being like, I'm going to stay with Aaron. Like, no, I don't need to see that jerk off again.
Also, one of my favorite lines of the episode. So when older Tiff is leaving with Tiffany and her boyfriend, Russ, she tells Mac and Aaron, like, don't touch the stereo and don't touch the game console.
Yeah.
And then as soon as the door closes, Mac immediately is like, do you want to play video games? And they're like, oh, yeah, yeah. And they immediately sit down to play an N64. It's like, oh, my God. So relatable. Don't ever tell a kid don't touch something. They're going to immediately touch it.
Yeah, this is really good. I mean, they're obviously Tiffany is really trusting them. Older Tiff is really trusting them when she probably shouldn't, knowing that they're 12 and not gonna listen. But yeah, I thought that was funny. And honestly, if you put an N64 in my vision, I'm definitely gonna play it. I can tell you that much. Especially because they're from the 80s. Like, they don't know the technology that is the N64.
Totally. It's gonna be like a wild upgrade for them.
They're gonna be like, oh my God, look at how many pixels there are. There's at least
look at the graphics. Yeah, exactly. I mean, when you go from like original Mario to Mario 64 and you skip all the stuff in between, like, that's pretty wild.
Just, they're gonna do some Mario Party, they're gonna do some Mario Kart, they're gonna have a great time.
They
except
are.
They barely play video games, they can do a bunch of the other stuff, so.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, also, like, we don't get to see what games they are, but I would not be surprised if older Tiff is not a Mario gal.
Imagine the Nintendo, what is it called, ad product placement? They could have gotten some money for that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But yeah, anyways, so then we switch back to older Tiffany and Russ, and they are driving to the farm, and older Tiff just like baby talks her boyfriend, and
I have to say about this. I saw this and I was like, why? You're so intelligent. Please stop. You're in my ears.
It was gross. And then as soon as he gets out of the car, Tiffany's like, why did you do that? Why did you dumb yourself down for him? And older Tiff tells Tiffany that it's just easier, and she's actually playing it really smart by smoothing things over. And she tells Tiffany that sometimes it's easier to act different to get what you want and keep things copacetic, and you'll understand when you're older.
Yeah. So
I get it, but like, also I don't love it.
Okay, this is kind of where I am too. Like, I understand why people do that, but I will also say, even though older Tiff is older Tiff, she is still, what, 23? She is still very young in the grand scheme of things. And so I could understand making this, I'm going to say, a mistake at age 23. I feel like relationships are about compromise, but they are not about changing who you are to please others.
It's not about compromising yourself.
Right. Especially with like the thing with the baby talk and like, like, I don't know, especially because this guy seems like such a jerk off.
Tiffany is like, why are you with him? Mm-hmm. And, you know, she says like, you know, Russ has zero drive or ambition. And Tiffany is like, yeah, he still lives in Stony Stream. And older Tiff is like visibly upset by that. Like, obviously, I think Tiffany is just really not getting the fact that what she's saying is like really rude to her older self, and like I think it just shows like a lack of awareness a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. I think she just doesn't understand that what she's saying could be seen as hurtful, because she probably sees the older version of herself as the same person, and like maybe this is what younger Tiff would want to hear. But we change and grow a lot, especially in 11 years, and especially from ages 12 to 23.
Definitely. And then so Mac and Aaron are just hanging out on the couch, and Aaron decides to call up her mom, and she hears her mom say hello, but she doesn't say anything back, and she hangs up, and this she's just super shaken.
This was so sweet. I don't know why it didn't like register in my brain that they could connect with other versions of, you know what I mean, like it didn't stick in my brain that was something they could do, but I loved this. It's just like, okay, this is why this show is so perfect, because literally there's every single character, there is something about them that you're like, oh my gosh, that's me, or you know what I mean, that just totally resonates with you.
They're also relatable. Yeah.
And if I was time traveling and I found out what Erin did about her mom and all of that, that's exactly what I would do, is I would want to call my mom and hear her voice. 100%. That's what I would want to do.
It's really sweet that she just wanted to hear her mom's voice. I mean, I can absolutely relate with that. I was told a few years ago a tip that, you know, save some voicemails from your loved ones, especially as they get older, because you never know what's going to happen. And like, that could be the last time that you can hear their voice. And so my voicemail inbox is like 90% full all of the time, because I just have like, I have voicemails saved from like 2015 and forward from like all my family members.
Just
so I can hear their voice.
I think I have one voicemail saved from my husband. I think that's the only one that I have saved.
Because that's the one downside to people like not leaving voicemails anymore.
Well, that I'm fairly certain if I were to play it and listen to it, I'm fairly certain it was from when we were early on when we started dating. I don't think we weren't married yet, like nothing like that. I'm pretty sure we were just dating, and I had left him a voicemail, very like silly, like, hey, it's me, like leaving you a voicemail, you know, just like nothing important. Cute. And then he did the same thing to me, and I just kept it.
That's so cute.
So, but yeah, I'm totally with you. Like, especially if your family is not big on home videos or anything like that, it's nice to be able to hear your family member's voice, because I feel like that's something that could be easily forgotten, right? You always have photos of someone, but hearing their voice is very unique.
Yeah. And, you know, when my dad got sick, taking more videos was, I think, one of the ways that I tried to cope with that, because I knew that I was not going to be able to, you know, hear him speak forever. Even if he did live longer with his ALS, your voice is taken from you, essentially. And so I started to try and record more videos of daily life. And of course, takes up a lot of gigabytes on your phone.
Yeah.
But it's really worth it to me. I think, you know, it's really nice. I am one of those people who goes through my photos and my videos all the time to just like look at, you know, what I thought was like, you know, either just visually impactful or, you know, just remember things that I've done because I have a Swiss cheese brain. But yeah, I also like don't have a ton of them printed out. So I really need to get on that. But yeah, taking like videos and saving voicemails, like if you're not already doing that, I would recommend it as a piece of advice from this podcast. If you take that away, I would definitely recommend that.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Definitely. But so Erin is just like really upset and she asks if Mac wants to call Dylan or her parents in the future or even future Mac. And this next part really sucked for me because Mac makes up a lie about future Mac that she's at veterinary school in Florida to avoid telling Erin the truth, even though like Mac and Erin share a lot of things now about like knowing that you die in the future. And, you know, Erin is just saying like, oh, you're so lucky that you grew up to be super cool. Yeah. And it's just like, it's daggers to the heart because Mac has decided to tell this lie instead of, you know, being open with her friend.
Yeah. I think it's rough because I think this would give Erin some not consolation, but like at least she would feel like she had someone to connect with over what just happened. But I also think that's not what Mac is considering. Mac is Mac, and Mac is someone who has a really tough time being vulnerable with other people.
Definitely.
And she doesn't, we hear her say it to KJ later, like she does not want them looking at her the way that KJ now looks at her. And so I totally understand not wanting to share that information. But of course, then it's going to make it seem like, oh, my life is super cool in the future. And, you know, it just probably is going to make Erin feel a little bit worse.
Yeah. I mean, I think also Mac probably feels really extra shitty when basically she's, you know, telling all these lies about nursing horses back to health on a farm and a rescue and how Dylan and his daughters visit all the time. And it's like, of course, then Erin is responding to that with messages about like how nice that is and how lucky she is.
Yeah.
But like I, for one, if I, you know, if I was Mac, like that, those comments would hurt even more, I think.
Yeah, they would definitely. Mm-hmm. And then we like Mac definitely is trying to just like change the subject immediately. And she's just like, wait, I have a crazy idea. And so they go to Erin's house because, again, they're still in Stony Stream, so they still have access to all of these places. And they're like, oh, I can't wait to see, like, what your mom and Missy are like. Oh, they're going to kill each other. And they want to see older Erin. And this is, like, when, like you said, Mac is talking all about, oh, I work with horses. I nurse them back to health. I go to the specific people's houses, like these farms. And so I think what Erin is expecting to see is her and her and is Erin's mom and Missy fighting and not getting along because that's what she's used to. But instead, Erin's mom and Missy are just like cooking dinner, having a great time. Like it seems like they're getting along just fine.
Yeah, they seem happy. And I think like, I mean, that's also part of growing up. Like your relationships can change for the better or for the worst. It can go either way for sure. And it does go either way. And then Max says, it's tough, man. It feels like the whole world should stop when you're not around, but it just keeps going on without you. And it really sucks. And that I can really relate to. I mean, I am a person that has some FOMO, but also like it is just really hard to think about like, you know, especially like if you're having a tough time, like to see other people like living their lives and having a great time, it's really difficult. And then Erin chimes in and says that there can be a lot going on under the surface that you cannot see. And Yeah, I mean, that's also very true. Like, these two lines were definitely written by somebody who's gone through some therapy.
Yeah, and I think it's funny because these, just by the fact that these girls are time traveling and having all of these experiences, they're really maturing at such a quick rate. And both of them recognizing this, like, this is something it takes a really long time to understand and learn. And I'm, like, very impressed that we're getting these lines from 12-year-olds.
Yeah, it's great. And then older Tiff and Tiffany arrive at Larry's farm, and he opens the door and he's like, "Hi, can I help you?" Which was so weird to see.
Yeah.
But they tell him that they're with the STFU and that he can trust them. And Tiffany basically tells him, "I know Heck and Naldo. I know about the Time War. I know all the buildings on this farm, and I know you." And then, like, Meemaw calls out for Larry.
I was so happy he has a Meemaw.
I love it.
I love Meemaw. Meemaw is such a cute, like, word for grandmother.
Yeah, it's very Southern, but they're in Ohio. But that doesn't mean that the grandparents are not from the South. But,
Yeah.
I only grew up with one set of grandparents, so it was just grandma and grandpa. I didn't have a Nana or a Meemaw or a Pop-Pop or
so I only had, like, one of each on each side. So I only had, like, one grandma and one, like, grandfather on the other. You know what I mean? So it was grandma and Papa was the other one. But, yeah, no, I didn't have, like my booby or, like, there's other cute ones that we didn't use. But now I'm, like, I don't know. If I ever become a grandmother, I want to do a cool one, you know?
Do you have any thoughts about what your grandma name is going to be?
No, I do like Meemaw. I'm not Southern, but Meemaw is fun.
You can you can choose whatever you want.
Oma and Opa are also fun.
Oh yeah, that's Greek, I think.
I think so. Yeah. Opa, right? Maybe or maybe it's, is it German? What's German? There are German ones too.
I can't think of them. I have no idea. In Yiddish, it's Bubby and Zadie.
Oh, those are cute, Bubby.
Yeah.
Little Bubby. But yeah, I don't know. I loved the fact that we are seeing that he's not alone in the past, right? Like he does have family.
Mm-hmm.
And he's so new. He's so green to
the
STFU.
He's super green. So Tiffany just, like, takes off towards the silo. But of course the robot's not there yet, which is why they needed to send it back to 1999. But the robot, you know, got exploded by the other robot. The fancy robot with the pink spikes.
Yes.
And so older Tiff shows him the notebook and he's like, "Oh, I have one of those like that." And it's like, dude, this is that notebook.
Yeah, is yours.
Pick up the pace. Get with the times. and so in 1999, Larry only has two foldings recorded. He's a new recruit of about 18 months. But there's, like, a couple dozen in the notebook from 2019, at least. You know, we only see, like, one set of pages. But they tell him they need his help. And they basically demand of him that he gives them the cipher because he owes them big time. He betrayed 4 12-year-old girls, left them trapped here in 1999, and a woman died. And, like, Tiffany is so she's very emotional at this point. I mean, they've really been betrayed by Larry. Like, he really effed up and he really did some bad shit. But yeah, this Larry says he's a good guy. And older Tiff says, like, "You seem okay right now in 1999, but, like, you have the power to change things for the better." And
right, because we know that is what the STFU does. So in this universe of time travel, you can change the past. It is not a situation of whatever happened,
right?
And yeah, I feel bad. Like, Tiffany is having to be face to face with someone who very, very recently betrayed her and her friends and resulted in the death of a person and got them stuck here. And so they're just like, yeah, you have to do something to fix this.
Yeah, so this version of Larry, he seems like a nice guy. He gives them the formula and he says, like, "Whatever I did, I'm not gonna do it, and I'm gonna do anything in my power to make sure it doesn't happen."
Yeah.
And then there's this, like, cute little exchange where he's like, how can I keep in touch if I need to get in touch with you? And Tiffany's like, you're not gonna, you won't. And older Tiff drops the like, we're Tiffany Quilkin. We're listed in the phone book.
Yeah, I loved that. I love that she's just like, ah, this is probably a better idea. Like, it's more little Tiff is a little revved up right now. It's more logical to actually give him the information.
Mm-hmm. But I also just love like the we are this one person.
Yes. Yeah.
It's great. I mean, it's not untrue, but it also sounds very funny. And then so Mac and Aaron are also walking around downtown Stony Stream. And Aaron tells Mac that she doesn't get it. She doesn't know when she's going to die and it messes with you. And Aaron's like a little nihilist. She says that she can't help but think, what's the point? And again, Mac like doesn't tell her the truth about her future, despite the fact that like everything that Aaron is saying that Mac doesn't get, she does get.
Yeah.
And then she just gets really upset and she tells her to STFU, the real one.
Yeah.
And then Aaron says, you're such an effing jerk. Mac goes, no shit, Sherlock.
Yeah. And then we've all been new.
Mm-hmm, we've been new. At least Mac is self-aware that she's an effing jerk.
Yeah.
And then Mac tells her that she and KJ deserve each other and to go F herself. And this is like the first kind of inkling about like, are we supposed to be shipping Mac and KJ? Because like, I, for one, personally just really don't want it.
Why would you not want it, out of curiosity, if that's what they're going for?
Well, A, because they're 12 years old and there's that. But also like, I just like, I don't love all of the like storylines. It's like very much a trope of like, you know, you just end up kind of like falling for a person that you're just stuck with by happenstance.
Mm-hmm.
Like that does happen, I suppose, but like it, to me, it feels kind of forced.
That's fair. That's a very fair thing to say, that like, just because four people are together doesn't mean that two of those four will fall in love or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't pick up shipping vibes from here from this particular scene. I didn't.
Yeah, I didn't pick up the vibes of that, but it was kind of just the you and KJ deserve each other, like mm-hmm. that maybe Aaron had picked up on some vibe and
okay.
we just hadn't been privy to it yet.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, it's more of a critique on like the medium of, you know, script writing, screenwriting
mm-hmm.
that like there's all these, I think, just like cliche you know, storylines that just like I don't love it, and I don't need it, and like I can kind of see it happening, and like maybe my mind will change when it does happen
mm-hmm.
If it happens, but like personally I don't need this. I don't need a romance here. I would much mm-hmm. prefer to just explore the friendships.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I think like that's kind of also like my perspective on Community. Like, as I think we've discussed about, you know, in Community building, the podcast that you host here on this network. I don't really love the shipping of like Jeff and Britta, Jeff and Annie, Troy and Britta. Like, I don't need it in like a show about friendships. I don't always need relationships. I think, you know, one of the kind of like refreshing things about The Bear that everybody's been talking about lately is that like there is really no romance in that show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just about like the dynamics and the friendships building and, you know, the restaurant itself. But I just, you know, there doesn't always need to be romance in a story. I guess is just like my perspective.
Yeah, I'm with you in that a lot of stories when they pair people together, I'm like, did this need to happen? Like, did we need it? It couldn't have stayed platonic, you know, like especially a lot of shows where if there is a male character and a female character, it's just a matter of time before they pair them together if the show goes on long enough.
Mm-hmm.
I know what you mean in that kind of sense. But yeah, I didn't feel it. I kind of know what you mean by like the wording of like you deserve each other. I didn't get any shipping vibes or like vibes in this scene,
mm-hmm.
but we'll get to it later, because I do think later
there's
more
definitely
vibes.
Some more vibes for sure mm-hmm. later. And so then we switch back to KJ, and the movie has let out, and she approaches Lauren in the lobby because adult KJ, older KJ, has gone to the bathroom. Very relatable. In 1999, they definitely did not have the RenP app. She did not have an Infinity P coin. And so she's just talking to Lauren about like the experience of watching 2001 A Space Odyssey. And Lauren says like the most PSR thing about letting the experience wash over you. Mm-hmm. And KJ says that she thought that the movie was really beautiful. But even more beautiful, she then asks Lauren, when did you know that you were someone who liked movies? Ones like these, you know, someone who felt this way. And Lauren gets it.
She knows what she's asking.
She gets what she picks up what KJ's putting down.
I loved this. I thought this so precious. Lauren being so astute and like willing to help out someone who's younger than her and kind of tell her experiences. Mm-hmm. And she says like everyone moves at their own pace. It could be overwhelming, but every person's journey is different. A lot of people won't understand, but sometimes you find a movie you connect with and it just feels really, really, really great. You just try and listen to that. And it's very kind. It's very sweet. I think this is such an interesting way to show someone's journey with their sexuality. Mm-hmm. It's obviously very different given that we have time travel involved and that she kind of has the realization by seeing an older version of herself, mm-hmm. Kissing a girl. But I loved this. Obviously, I think she can't be talking to herself because her older version of herself would be like, oh my God, you're me. But no, I thought this was really sweet and I really loved this scene. I think KJ continues to be a star on the show, her as a character, the actress who plays her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, another piece of our feedback from Josiah. Mm-hmm. KJ's actress, Fina Straza, plays awkward mixed with heartfelt wonderfully. Yeah. Absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it was really cute that also, you know, Lauren invites her to coffee, KJ obviously, you know, decides that she can't go and she leaves.
Yeah, very, very sweet. And just as the older version of her is coming out, so mm-hmm. beyond Mac, who I mean, unless they time traveled to in between 12 and 16, right. she'd have a difficult time meeting herself. KJ is the remaining paper girl who has not yet met a version of herself.
Right. Actually like interact to them. With, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we have to finish out talking about older Tiff and young Tiff decoding and a little bit more feedback. But first let's go to a quick ad break here and we will be right back.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Okay, we are back. Older Tiff, younger Tiff, decoding Larry's notebook here. And I love, this was so great. I love older Tiff just being like, you know, you handled that so well with Larry. And Tiffany's like, I'm proud of us. Valedictorian, graduate of MIT. Like, she's super jazzed about her future, it seems. Mm-hmm. Until older Tiff tells her that she dropped out of MIT sophomore year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Tiffany's kind of a jerk about it, as you know, continues with this thread, and she calls her older self a quitter. And, you know, older Tiff just kind of is like, okay, this is the moment. Like, we have to shut this down. Like, you're being a freaking jerk. And so she says that MIT had nothing to teach her. It was not what she thought it was going to be. She got a lot of looks and comments. I can only imagine, or at least my read was that, you know, because there's not a lot of Black people that were at MIT.
I would say both late 90s. Not only women, but women of color, I'm sure. Yes, were even
for sure.
Yeah, even mm-hmm. more in the minority at MIT, for sure.
Yeah. She also, though, says that she couldn't take the rigidity of, you know, the curriculum there.
Yeah.
And she says, if it worked for Steve Jobs and Bill Gates, so why shouldn't it work for me? And then Tiffany, again, just absolute jerkitude. She goes, this is working for you. And I loved this response from Alder Tef where she says, hell yeah, it is. And frankly, I'm starting to get insulted by you acting like it shouldn't. Yes, girl, tell her.
Yeah, I think it's funny because maybe young Tiffany can handle her own in terms of going into an argument and being successful. But she's going up against an older version of herself.
Oh, yeah.
And so she better expect an argument on the other side coming at her.
Yeah. And I think the older version of Tiffany also, you know, has 11 more years of life experience, obviously, but also like emotional intelligence that she has built over this time. And
yeah,
it just really indicates, you know, how just kind of like immature these girls are. Even when we think that they might be mature for their age, like mm-hmm. they're still at the core really immature.
Yeah, she's really judgmental. She thinks that like there is one path and one path only in life, and that path included graduating from MIT, but that is mm-hmm. not the case with a lot of people. There are so many times in your life where you could pick 20 different paths and they'd all have different results for your life.
Definitely.
And older Tiffany took the path that included dropping out of MIT because she didn't like it. It wasn't working for her. And what she's doing now is working for her. She's so much happier. And I think we DM'd a little bit while watching this episode in terms mm-hmm. of like, when you're a kid, at least for I think both of us, if you don't mind me saying, like mm-hmm. that was not something, happiness was not something that like we were necessarily taught to prioritize. And I think probably a lot of kids are that way because it's just not something you think you'd have to prioritize, your own happiness, that just kind of comes with everything else, that maybe getting the perfect job and making a good amount of money and buying the perfect home and marrying the perfect person and having the perfect kids, all of those things will lead to happiness.
They might not.
But they certainly might not. If you're in a job that you absolutely hate, it doesn't matter how much money you're making. Like, yeah, money can buy great things. It maybe even can buy you things that can make you happy. But not if you're stuck there all week, every week doing something you hate. And I don't mm-hmm. I think young Tiff is just too young and inexperienced to understand that happiness should be factored in as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, I had an upbringing that was very achievement focused. And like you said, it was not focused on happiness whatsoever. I did not have any kind of muscle memory from my childhood on how to seek happiness mm-hmm. and how to become a happy person. And, you know, there are things like that some kids are gifted with, you know, a head start in from their parents. And there are some kids that haven't been. And I certainly was not. And it seems like perhaps, you know, Tiffany maybe hasn't either. You know, she's very focused on these like material achievements of like, you know, good grades, good school, good job. But like, those are not the things that will actually make you happy. And right. When you're only focused on those achievements, like you really can lose sight of literally everything else around you. And there is a lot of media these days, I think, that is focusing on that. One movie that I think does a really great job of that is Booksmart. If you have not watched Booksmart, it's a movie about two graduating high school seniors who, you know, very much focused on achievements and good grades and getting into a good college. And they realize that they have not had really any fun. They have not gone to any parties. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like, parties is not the only way to have fun. But they realize they've not really had that kind of experience. And all of the other kids around them at their high school both got good grades and got into good colleges while also having that experience.
Yeah.
And I think, like, there's a lot more media nowadays focused on this. And so I have hope for the future of
I think it's way more prioritized mm-hmm. now than it ever was, where mental health is a priority in a way that it wasn't when we were kids.
Yeah.
I feel like early signs of anxiety, depression are caught earlier now mm-hmm. than they ever would. And it's not so rigid the way that
I mean, I think it's really a product of like the, you know, millennial generation becoming parents. Are all of our like exennial friends who are a little bit older than us as well. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's really showing that like we can like develop healthier generations in the future, and like what can go into that. And I've certainly been on that journey over the last few years. And you know, if you are, you know, having kind of like an eye-opening experience listening to us talk about this, our DMs are open, and you know, I'm happy to chat about this, however, you know, in the Discord, on Twitter, in the DMs, just you know, don't be afraid to reach out. This is something that's really important to me.
Yeah, 100%. I'm there with you. I think that's why this show is so great, because it is like sparking conversations like that. And it is because we're seeing the same person at different ages in their life and they're seeing each other. I think it really does spark that kind of conversation of what is important to you in your life.
Yeah. And I hope that like if there are younger people that are watching the show and potentially listening to this podcast, that, you know, it will help them grow up to be a little different than the, you know, judgmental Aaron and Tiffany. I think, you know, hopefully this is making also some impact on future generations. So, you know, I certainly hope that it is not just us, you know, adults watching the show, and that maybe there are actually some children out there that are watching this. And
yeah, I hope so.
Being better people because of it. But yeah, I don't know if you're even allowed on the internet to reach out to us. But again, if you are, definitely reach out. We would love to hear from you. We got a lot of great feedback this week. We're gonna keep having great feedback.
This is when she mentions working on an educational startup on the internet.
Mm-hmm. And Tiffany is like, oh, an institute? Yeah. I have very good reason to believe we'll be very successful at this. And then my favorite part is that older Tiff is like, so do I. And like, it's really interesting because Tiffany, younger Tiffany, her good reason to believe we'll be very successful at this is because she knows the future. She's been there. Yeah, she's seen the outcome. Yeah. But the so do I from older Tiff is just based on confidence and like believing in yourself. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that from her.
Yeah. I love that she believes in her own vision. I think that's half the battle, right? Is kind of having the
self-confidence.
Yeah. To make it work. And yeah, I loved that from older Tiffany as well.
Mm-hmm. And then slowly but surely, one at a time, KJ comes back, Aaron comes back, Matt comes back. None of them are talking to each other. Mac fully like kicks the door in to come back, and then she like angrily walks over to older Tiff's clove cigarettes and just steals them and climbs up the stairs to the roof. And then older Tiff is like, did you just Bogart my cloves? I love that.
I don't know why it cracked me up so much.
So funny. What cracked me up even more was that immediately after that, Tiffany is like, I'm really sorry about them. Literally all of them. Yeah. Tiffany is like, I don't know how I got stuck with these idiots.
It was so good.
I know. So KJ ends up going up to talk to Mac on the roof, in the front of like a beautiful sunrise sunset type situation.
Yeah.
I guess probably sunset. And she apologizes to Mac and says that she's sorry and tells her about seeing herself when she was out. And they have like a conversation about, you know, how Mac is always kind of like ribbing her about her family's wealth. And KJ says, you know, the house, the cars, the clothes, they might look really nice from the outside, but sometimes you just got to look a little deeper and it's just all really confusing. Mm-hmm. But I look happy now in the future. And Max says, happy is good. And then KJ kind of like stumbles on her words to try to tell Mac that she might be gay. Mm-hmm. And Mac interrupts and tells KJ that she dies in the future at 16. And Mac tells KJ about her coping mechanism of holding on to the hope that she would be able to leave at home at 18 and everything will be good. But it's all bullshit because nothing ever gets better because she dies before 18, before she can leave Stony Stream. And KJ hugs Mac and they both cry. And at this point, I was like, okay, it's absolutely happening. This is absolutely a ship. I don't love it, but it's happening and I can't help it.
But I think that even if this is the moment where you're like, okay, we're supposed to ship this now, I still loved this moment because it feels like an evolution of the motorbike moment.
Yes.
Where like Mac is hugging KJ from the back and KJ can't even really see what's going on and Mac is just breaking down. The fact that it's then KJ who is the one who Mac tells this to first, and opens up to her. And I think like, gosh, there must be so many kids out in the world who are like in a shitty situation at home and thinking to themselves, just wait until I graduate, just wait until I turn 18 and I can leave this situation. And wow, popping a balloon, taking the wind out of your sails, like all of the above to find out that you never make it to 18 to leave, that was your life. That was your entire life was to 16 and then it was over.
Really?
And
rough.
What was it all for? That's awful. And that's terrible for someone to have to go through. And I think KJ being the character that she divulges this to first makes so much sense, not just because of the motorbike ride and all of that, but because KJ is so freaking dependable. She is the one who you'd want to tell this to. She is the one who, and I mean, even if you thought Aaron could sympathize, I also feel like maybe Mac isn't considering this, but other people would consider like, I can't pile this on top of the stuff that Aaron is already dealing with. Like, I can't have her comforting me when she's going through so much too.
And, yeah, that's fair.
And so I think like it being KJ makes so much sense. And I personally loved this moment outside of like, if we're shipping it or not. I loved this moment between them. I thought it was so well earned. And I think that, again, we're only six episodes into this and seeing the characters connect in this way is so well earned over these past couple of episodes.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely still love this moment. I personally would love it if it was a friendship moment. But it to me is pretty clear that it's not going in that direction. And then I'm just going to have to live with it. But yeah, I mean, some of our feedback from Dawn is that the actresses playing the 12-year-old girls continue to surprise us with their acting skills. Like, they're all fantastic. This scene is so great, partially because Fina Strazza and Sophia Rosinski are so good.
I'd be so shocked if they don't get more work after this.
Oh, absolutely.
Because
this, I think, to me seems like how after the first season of Stranger Things they all started to get hired in other things.
If they don't, it would be tragic. I think that everyone should be talking about this show, not only for the storytelling and the visuals and the score and all of that, but mostly because of the acting. I think having your show rely on the acting talents of four 12-year-old actresses who are fairly unknown.
Yeah, I think they might all actually be like 16, but
Yeah, you know what I mean? The young adult actresses. Yes. Teenagers. It's a big risk. And I think they found the right people for every single role. All of these characters fit these roles so well. And I just love this moment. I think like all the emotional heavy beats that we're getting interspersed with like the childlike comedy that we get, I just think it's they're doing such a great job.
They really are. I'm continually impressed by the show and just feeling so lucky and grateful to be able to talk about it every week with you.
I know. I'm like so sad we're getting towards the end. I'm like make it not end.
I know. I'm just like praying that we get a second season. Hopefully Amazon picks it up soon. I mean, if they don't, like, we need to lead the riot, and we definitely will lead the riot.
Yeah,
definitely. We will be the STFU leaders, the new Heck and new Naldo. Yes. But so right after, you know, Max storms off, older Tiff and Tiffany are just like still working on the cipher, and like older Tiff is just really hyped to be working on deciphering how to time travel. Like, that's such a huge discovery. And like, she loves being on, you know, the breaking edge of it. And they figure out with the code that the next folding isn't until July 25th, 2006.
7 years. And I think immediately older Tiff is like, I mean, you could stay here for a little bit, but
yeah,
7 years.
Like, I can't do this for seven
and
years.
Of course, Erin overhears this and she's freaking out because she's furious. Just like, she's like, you have to be wrong. You can't be right. Double check. You have to be wrong. And it's so sad. It's like, I mean, you're 12 and you're trapped in the wrong time for 7 years.
That's
away
over
from
half
family?
Of the life that they've lived before.
Exactly. It's so, I mean, I'm certain like maybe Mac would be happy with it, but certainly not Erin, who's trying to get back to her mom, who she knows relies on her. It's yeah, it's not great. Not great.
It's not. I'm pretty sure it's longer than any of the 815ers were stuck in the 70s on Lost.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a
really
long time.
They were only
there
for like 5 years, maybe?
3, 5, not sure. Yeah. Don't hate me, April. I know you're listening to this. I have Swiss cheese brain.
It's not our fault.
It's not.
That show ended a very long time ago.
It did. It ended a really long time ago. Longer than 7 years ago. That's for
sure.
There
you go.
And so the last scene that we get is Larry is just like out in the farm and newspapers start flying around and he like walks around the corner of a building. The sky is bright pink and swirly and a bike falls out of the sky.
Yeah. And this when as soon as the bike fell, I was like, oh, my gosh, that is not a new bike. Like,
I know
that is not a 99 bike. That bike looks old.
Well, also, like, if a bike falls out of the sky, you're like, oh, shit. But also, well, I was like, oh, this is their paper bikes.
Yep. Because then he looks at the newspaper, and it is November 1st, 1988.
Hell day. So, yeah, this is where their stuff went. When they time traveled to 2019, a bunch of their stuff ended up in 1999. And I have no idea what that means. But perhaps the end credits song gives a little clue. Because we get Red Hot Chili Peppers' Parallel Universe.
Look at that needle drop.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think it means?
I mean, it does kind of seem like potentially, you know, there were kind of two time loops that went in different directions where one went to 2019 and one went to 1999 and, you know, potentially created some parallel universes here. I would be very intrigued if this ended up being a yet another multiverse show.
I mean, the thing is, time travel is you never know,
it's
right?
Very true.
Like I said, there are many, many things that are in the graphic novel that have not yet been explored on the show. And just I'm so crossing my fingers we get a second season of the show because knowing that this is episode 6 and we only have 2 more episodes and kind of knowing how much is left in the graphic novel that has like not been touched yet by the show. I'm really excited to see this reveal though. I think like we get the reveal of like, oh man, we're stuck here for 7 years. And then immediately freaking stuff is falling out of the sky from 1988. And we're
just
like
it's a double whammy. Game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Perhaps it's parallel whammies.
Yeah, so super, super exciting. It's like, of course, every single time we do this, but every single time I'm like, I can't wait to press play on the next episode.
I know. And this time we have a long extended break of 9 days between recording of this episode and recording the next episode because you, Jess, are taking off some time for your birthday.
Happy birthday,
Jess. Thank Sterling. You. Happy birthday to all the Leos around the world. We love you as much as you love yourselves.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure that the last episode 5 drops on my birthday. I think if I'm doing the math correctly. So yeah, we'll have a little bit of a break because I'm going on vacation. But we'll be back with episode 6. You all won't have felt the break at all. We'll be back with episode 7 in no time at all. I'm so excited to see what the next episode holds for us. I just
very hype. Penultimate episodes are always big, you know, big vibes. So
yeah.
Oh, very yeah. much looking forward to it. Before we hop off the mic, I just want to give a nod to a couple of these other pieces of feedback. So from Josiah, we have Sophia Rosinski is playing a budding Gen Xer so aptly. I wonder if she's actually a time traveler. Love it. Also from Josiah, I also like how Mac's new partner in Snark is Erin, who's having a bit of a crash course into teenage angst after seeing herself literally explode.
The growth.
Love it. Love angsty teenagers or preteens. And then from Sherry, the best thing about rewatching is the little things I missed the first time. When Larry tells old Erin that she has to drive the robot in, I think, episode 4, they pan to KJ pointing to her and giving Larry an "Are you serious?" look. And I did not notice this the first time, so thank you for bringing this to our attention, Sherry. That's very perfect from KJ. I love it.
It is. Mm-hmm. Can I also tell you the episode title of the next episode we're going to be watching?
Oh my God, yes. We have to get into this. I saw this episode title and I just can't wait to find out what it means. More so than like the Weird Al is dead, the next episode is called Some Kind of Burping Trash Hole.
I think they're really doing a great job with these episodes.
They're doing incredible. I cannot wait to find out what a burping trash hole is. And I cannot wait to start using this as my regular insult.
Yeah.
I rotation. Felt
like, maybe I'm wrong, but I felt like it was referring to like one of the foldings, like the pink folding.
Yeah,
where
that's
like,
what I'm
it's
assuming.
Burping out trash.
That is what I am assuming. We have been wrong with our assumptions before.
Oh, I don't love when I'm wrong in general, but I love when I'm wrong about television. I gotta say,
yes.
I love being right is one of my favorite things of all time ever.
As a Leo, yes.
In general, as a human being, to be right is just this wash of energy of like, yes, I did it. But yeah, I would love to be wrong about what the burping trash hole is.
Yeah, I would love to not ever have any of the numbers or names or any of the things that I wrote down for you come up again. But also I would love if we hear from Lou and John Cale and have some of these numbers become relevant, because I would be like, oh my God, it was all for a point. Also, if your name is John Cale and you're listening to this podcast, please reach out to us, because I would love to give you a shout out more so than this fake John Cale.
Oh, yeah. And also, if you're listening to this and you sent in a song about your animal or anything or a photo, I haven't gotten any yet, but also because the podcast hasn't released yet where we asked for them.
Yes.
So we're pre-recording a little bit just because I'm going to be out of the country. I'm not
out of office.
Out of the country. I'm out of the office. I'm out of office for a little while. So if you didn't hear me divulge my own song, that is why. If we do get messages and all of that, and we get at least 3, it will be revealed on the next podcast.
Yes.
So there you
go. Because by the time we are recording the next podcast, we will have gotten the feedback. But at this time of recording,
I'm getting nervous because we're starting to get a lot of feedback for the show. And now I'm like, oh my gosh, people are actually going to fulfill our requests.
I would live for them fulfilling our requests, Jess.
I know.
Because maybe then we will have the people to mobilize if we need to incite a riot.
We do need to have the STFU come to fruition. Mm-hmm. Although I don't think we should call ourselves the underground, because I feel like we want to be above ground about this.
We
riot.
Can be the STFO. What's or we can be the GTFO.
Ooh. Okay. Mm. All right.
General Time Fighter Origins.
I kind of like it. We sound like superheroes. I'm into
yeah,
it.
We do. Okay, I mean, I'm we are it. Superheroes. You're a superhero to me, Jess.
We're like
the amount of podcasting that you do on a weekly basis is super heroic to me. Do you want to tell the people a little bit about all the podcasts that you work on?
Yes. Such a great segue, Dita.
Thank you. Such a good one.
yes, of course. I am podcasting here on Potion Recaps and a few different things. One being Pretty Little Liars over on HBO Max. That is with Sarah Ferguson. We're having a great time. Again, if you watch the original Pretty Little Liars, even if you caught, you didn't have to watch any of it, honestly. This is a new show with new characters.
Ooh.
It is definitely more horror-based than the prior Pretty Little Liars, but
I was intrigued, and then as soon as you said horror-based,
yeah.
The thing is,
I can handle it, and I'm a big scaredy cat. So it is really fun, though, so I definitely recommend you check that out. Of course, as Deidre mentioned earlier, I am also talking Community with Josh Wiggler on community building every week. And then I'm also co-hosting Shit 90 Shows Taught Me with Sarah Ferguson, where we talk Dawson's Creek and Boy Meets World. We're going to be doing a bonus podcast in August for Xenon, Girl of the 21st Century. I don't know that we've covered any DCOMs before. It might be our first.
I was about to say if this was a DCOM.
It is. It's like, I think it's the first DCOM, actually.
First DCOM. Okay.
Yeah, because most DCOMs, which is a Disney Channel original movie, if you're like, what the hell is a DCOM? Most of them were made in the 2000s. And so Sarah and I try to only cover stuff from the 90s, as our name would imply. And so we will be talking Xenon. I'm very excited about it because, oh my gosh, that movie was so great back in the day.
You know, I don't think I've seen a single DCOM.
You haven't seen any DCOMs?
I don't think I have.
Oh my gosh. Some of them, I mean, again, a lot of them probably don't hold up very well in terms of like, are they interesting? Are they good? But Xenon, I remember, was both fun. It's like sci-fi-ish and it has great music. So
amazing. We love good music.
So yeah, go check all of that out at Shit90sPod on Twitter and Instagram. And you can find me at the Just Sterling. Or of course, you could also find me in the Posher Recaps Discord. If you want to become a member, PosherRecaps.com/Patreon. It is still early enough in the month where it's totally worth your while to join on and chat.
By the time that this podcast comes out, it won't quite be as early well, then in the wait month, till but September it's still worth it.
Fine. Or do it as a birthday present for me. Just come join us.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm sure Jess would love nothing more than for you to give her a birthday present of your patronage.
Also, yeah, because then you can also be in the Discord and wish me a happy birthday in there. And that would also make me very happy. Mm-hmm. But Deidre, what else do you have going on? Where can the people find you?
I have nothing going on. The people can find me, though, at DH Lips on Twitter. Also in the Post Your Recaps Discord. That's it. I have zero participation in this plug section. It's like 99% Jeff, 1% Deej.
So sorry.
I know you ask me every week, what else have you got going
what
on?
Are you doing?
Like, I have nothing.
Well, I do know one thing is that you did recently purchase a t-shirt off of our merch store.
I did. PosherRecaps.com. It has not gotten delivered yet, but I am excited for it.
But if you too want your own t-shirt, your own coffee mug, your own Wigglers Wombats hat, you can do that at PosherRecaps.com/store is where you can find that. I think that's everything we have, but we will be back for you all very short order, very soon with episode 7, talking about trash holes and everything that comes out of them.
Don't forget the burps.
Yes, don't forget the burps. Lots of burps, too. So until then, we have to do our super cute sign-off that I'm just assuming everyone loved before. We will say 10-4.
10-4, good buddy.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.